Living Hope Assembly of God.
You grab your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. And for a thought, very briefly, I want to give you this thought: the race of faith. The race of faith. If you grab 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, hold it right there. And I just want to point out, as we come to the close of another year, our minds turn to a few things. Memories of this past year, right? You take review, or even memories of past years, your failures and your successes in life. Oftentimes we think of what's in store for next year. And so for some of us, we're looking at the projection of the coming year and the playoffs and all of those different things in football. What is it going to be like? Who's going to win? And then some of us have New Year's resolutions. How many of us already pegging out New Year's resolutions? There are some things that we want to change about ourselves. There's a saying about, a quote about New Year's resolutions that all good plans die in the land of good intentions. So as you plan to succeed, plan to carry out and to finish that thing that you have set in your mind to start, amen? Especially in the way of your health, your life, your relationship with God. I pray that every single one of us, as the new year comes into focus, that it's our desire, man, to grow in Jesus Christ, amen? This morning, we're going to talk about finishing strongly this year and next. You see, it is not too late to finish this year well. Some of us have had some rocky moments this year. Some of us have been spiritually at a place of apathy where we are just kind of just dragging, drudging through, barely making it spiritually. Oh, just continuing to keep on with the keep on, trying to live life going through the motions. Can I tell you that just going through the motions can only last for a little while? And eventually, going through the motions, you wear yourself out spiritually and physically. Going through the motions causes a believer to act out of character. Go into this year, end this year strong. It's never too late to end on a good note. When we look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize?" He says, run in such a way as to get the prize. If there's a prize to be had, run like you really want to get the prize. Live life like you really want to accomplish and achieve something, not just in the natural, but in the spirit. Go into the new year and end this year strong. End this year with every ounce of energy, every ounce of desire. If you have to drag your tired, restless body to the finish line, run the race in such a way that you want to get the prize. Because guess what? Whether if you want to run or not, you're in the race. You're in the race of life, and you're in a race towards eternity. Do you want to see him with a smile, or do you want to see him with a frown? No matter how you look at it, you are running. So run the race as if you desire to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Any person in a race, you cannot focus on anything other than the finish line. You cannot look at the person beside you, because if you start looking at the person beside you, you're going to get off track. You have to keep your eyes in your lane, keep your eyes focused in order to successfully win the race. The Apostle Paul said, I got to keep running. I have to take this thing serious. How serious are we truly taking our faith, guys, really? Come on, somebody, help me preach it today. How seriously are we truly taking our faith? Or are we just going through the motions? Listen, if you're in it to please me, you're in it for the wrong reason. If you go to church just because that's what good saved people do, you're in it for the wrong reason. Listen, I come to church because I need and desire the fellowship. I come to church so that I can hear the word of God. I come to church so that I can share my faith with others. I come to church because I love the family of God. I want to point out this morning, just run the race. Some of us get caught up with so many things. And the whole object is just to run the race. It's not your job to win the world on your own. Just run the race. It's not your job to fix every one of your children's problems. Just run the race. It's not your job to fix your spouse's problems. Just run the race. You are in this race individually, and I pray and hope that your life will be an example for someone else. But don't get caught up trying to fix someone else when you yourself need to just run the race. Just run the race. First, notice that all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. The issue here is not that we win in everything, but that we run to win. You're not going to win in everything, but the issue is, are you going to keep running to win? Or are you going to give up when life hands you a bad deck of cards? Are you going to give up? Are you going to give up when life presses on you and weighs on you in such a way? Are you going to give up because somebody looked at you wrong in the church? Are you going to give up because of all the chaotic things that are going on in the world? Are you going to give up because relatives die and people leave you lonely and by yourself? Are you going to give up because things are not going your way? Or are you going to say, I don't care what happens. I don't care how many heartaches take place. I don't care how tired I get. I'm going to keep running. I don't know about you, but I have made up in my mind that I'm going to keep running, even if I got to run by myself, because I am looking to see the face of Jesus. Listen, the author and the finisher of my faith. Listen, keep your eyes focused this morning, because God is going to say something to your heart that's going to spur you on in the coming year. Or you can take this word and you can just leave it where it's at, and you can go into next year the same way that you lived out this year. Listen, some of us are okay with being content. Some of us are okay where we're at. I'm okay. My family, I look around, my little four and no more, they're doing pretty good. I got a good job. I got food in the fridge. Listen, the Apostle Paul's race was not about him. When the race is not about you, who is it about? First and foremost, it's about pleasing God. It's about honoring God. Listen, Jesus himself said that the second greatest command is to love your neighbor. So the race ultimately is never about you. But the race is about God. And when we can fix our perspective and come to understand that it's not about us, but it's about him. And when it's about him, he's all about others. Man, I'm going to get at least one more amen. I know I am. Somebody's going to, man, somebody hear me this morning. Somebody's saying, Pastor, listen, I'm tired of living a self-centered life. I'm tired of making things about me. I want to be all in for Jesus. I want to serve God with my whole life. I want to serve God in a local church. I want to build the kingdom of God right here where I am. I want the devil to be afraid when I wake up in the morning, and I want him to say, whoo, when I lay down and go to sleep at night. Can I get an amen? Listen, I know that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I know that it's about Christ. But when I have Christ living inside of me and allowing him to be who he's going to be, greater is he that is within me than him that is in the world. What that tells me is that even though Christ is going to win, Christ has won the victory, I still got to show up to the fight. We still got to show up. Are you showing up this year? Are you going to continue, or are you going to fold up your tent and go home? Everyone who competes goes into strict training. We need to beat our body and make it our slaves. I realize some translations say buffet. This is not buffet. I kind of like a buffet every now and then. I'm not opposed to a buffet here and there. But the idea here is that we want to avoid the hypocrisy that the world uses as an excuse not to follow Christ. If your excuse to not follow Christ is because you see the depravity and the decline of many church organizations around the world, you're in it for the wrong reason. Listen, I can read my Bible for myself. I don't need a denomination to tell me what the Bible says. Listen, I can read the Bible for myself and come to an understanding of what Scripture is saying. Listen, all of those things are going to fail. It's the Word of God that's going to stand. Listen, am I an Assemblies of God pastor? You better believe it. I love what the Assemblies of God stand for. But I promise you, just as many other denominations have fallen because they're ran by man, when man places himself on the throne instead of allowing God to be God, listen, denominations crumble. But this right here will never crumble. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this is going to last. This is going to stand. What are you taking into next year? I pray that you're taking the Word of God into next year. But listen, this morning, I want to talk to you very briefly. There has to be some essentials. There has to be some things in place in your life in order for that foundation to remain firm and stable. There are some things that you got to do going into the new year in order to run this race effectively and successfully. First, reevaluate everything you do for spiritual disciplines. Ask yourself, why do I do this? Do you do it because you were told to do it? Or because you have an honest desire to deepen your relationship with God? Why do we do what we do? Those are good questions. And those are good questions to ask yourself. Ask yourself, why do I do it this way? Why do you pray? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you go to Bible study, etc.? Ask yourself, going into this new year, why I do what I do, and why are these things necessary for my life? Can I tell you, every single one of those things are necessary for your life? Every single one of them. Many of us rarely read our Bible. Some of us haven't prayed except for meals. And we definitely haven't prayed for someone else. You're like, oh man, Pastor, you're really hard on us today. Yeah. Man, we got to go into strict training, church. You know, the people who see things spiritually deep are those who are able to go through the pressures of life trusting God. You find those people who just like coasting through life, cascading through life. When you talk to them about spiritual things, 9 times out of 10, they're not spiritually deep. Amen. I give myself an amen. Charles, you're doing pretty good today. I know this is a hard word, but you keep preaching, boy. Secondly, rearrange your patterns and habits in those areas. if you have prayed the same way for a number of years, maybe using certain formulas, try something new. Switch it up. If you have been reading through the Bible in a certain fashion, look for other reading programs. You're human. Make it fresh again. Just like your relationship with other people. If you have not memorized scripture in a systematic fashion, start. That's always a good thing to do, amen? To memorize scripture, to get it down in your heart so that you will not sin against God. That's somewhere in the Bible. Thirdly, renew your commitment to doing those things that truly expose you to more of his wisdom and love and more of him. What are you doing? What are you going to add to your life that's going to spur you on and make you be everything that God has called you to be or is asking you to be? Listen, give me about 15 more minutes and we're going to be done. But I want to encourage you in this new year that you need to set aside some time and devotion to God. If we all look at our lives, I promise you there are things that we can change. I don't care about resolutions. I just want you to change. Listen, if you read your Bible more and earnestly seek God, if you pray more and earnestly seek God, I promise you we could revolutionize this city. I promise you we can. There's a sense of excitement with starting something new. It can open your heart and mind to the new and wonderful things in Scripture you never saw before. Have you ever done that? Like, looked at Scripture with fresh eyes? Oh, like, man, I didn't know that was there. That's been there the entire time. I didn't know God said that. Wow. So when you approach Scripture, you can do it every time. Every time you go into the Word of God, why don't you go into it with excitement? Like, I'm going into the Word of God. It's living, and it is powerful, and it is able to cut and divide and do all of those great things. It can transform my life and approach it like that, and approach it in a way that is beyond every magazine. Approach it in a way that is beyond every article. Approach it in every way that is beyond every YouTube video. Approach it in every way that is beyond every man's wisdom, that it is the wisdom of God, and it is able to transform your life. Approach it like that. And I promise you, when you get up from reading the Word of God, you'll start to see things with fresh eyes. It can open your heart and mind to new and wonderful things that Scripture you never saw before, and that will give you new glimpses of the Savior. How exciting. Lastly, let's look at how we could finish this year. In Hebrews 12, if you'll turn there, Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us look to Jesus. Who are we looking to? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, the throne of God. The main way that we can do this is spend the last days in earnest prayer, asking God to show us areas we still need to consecrate to him. God, what are the areas of my life that I need to sanctify unto you? There are areas in every one of our lives that we need to say, God, listen, I'm pretty messed up in this area. I need your help. God, my life, I'm filled with pride. I'm filled with anger. I'm filled with envy. I'm filled with strife. God, I need to set this area of my life aside so that you can deal with me. Amen. The writer of Hebrews says, let us who's going to do the laying aside? Is God going to rush in and rip it from you? No, no. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles us. Giovanni, when you're out for your 7-8 mile run, do you wear weighted down pants with a hoodie and cell phone and your Bible? No, you get down to less clothes as possible because you don't want anything holding you down. So many of us, we rush through life with every care that we can pick up along the way, and we try to run this race effectively. And the reality is this, those weights is what's holding us down and hindering us from being what God has called us to be. What are the weights in your life that you need to let go of? You want a better marriage? You want a better family life? You want to be more productive on your job? You might need to not look at your boss. You might need to look at you. God, what can I change about me that will make me more effective? Because if God got you at a place, God is able to sustain you where you're at. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody want me to preach like, I see a new this in your life. And you're going to be blessed beyond reason. Listen, the greatest blessing that you can have is in the will of God, whether if it's good or bad. You're still in the will of God, and God has a plan. You need to celebrate God exactly where you're at. Weights are not necessarily sins, but they weigh us down nonetheless. Just as many of us are going to shed some pounds for the new year, let us also shed our lives of things that hinders us. Things from this previous year, this existing year, and previous years. Don't carry weight into your new year. Some of the things that hinders me, the proper focus. Sometimes I can lose focus because as a pastor, as a husband, sometimes life can shake you. Sometimes your health gets bad and life just gets terrible, and people are acting certain ways, and you try your best to do good and love everybody, and every now and then there's going to be somebody that's going to rise up and just hate your guts just because. I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out why people don't like me. I seem like a very likable person. But every now and then somebody comes into my life and they just don't like me just because. We all have that problem. And you go through life and life shakes you. I was talking with a person the other day, and they said that their spouse was 55 years old. They were on a golf course playing golf, and all of a sudden he was with one of his buddies, and he hit the ball in the hole, and he's kind of silly when he makes a putt, and this time he just fell on the ground. And his friend was like, dude, get up. Get up. He was dead. But there's a wife that was left, had to receive a phone call that her husband is dead. This person is a believer. Those are things that will mess your focus up if you let it. So that's why you got to keep your eyes and your focus on Jesus Christ. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and the enemy's desire is to play with your focus and take you off focus. Listen, every now and then we get punched by the enemy with a blind shot. Bam! Have you ever been in a fight when somebody just, I was a rough cat one in my day, so I remember one time somebody walked up behind me and hit me in the head with a beer bottle. It hurt! I'm focused on the person right here, but they hit me from the back. It hurt really bad. Made me kind of dizzy. And that's the way the enemy does every now and then. He's such a coward at times, he's not going to come with the frontal attack. He's subtle. He's going to come in a way that you're least expected. And he's going to try to destroy your life and knock you off of your A game. And your A game will always be in the presence of God. For others, we need to work on our perspective. How we even see life. Share with somebody just the other day, for me, man, my perspective can be messed up if I allow it to be. meaning that every person I come in contact with, I could put my stepdad's face on them. Meaning that if I'm not careful, if someone is talking to me about a certain subject or thing, I would project and put my GED instructor face on them. The person who told me that I need to just get a technical trade, that my grades were not good enough to go to a university. What is it about your perspective that you need to change? Because listen, the enemy is at work in this earth as well, just as the Spirit of God is at work in this earth. And the enemy's desire is to twist your perspective so that you will not be able to see in the way that God desires for you to see. And you will look at every person, you will look at every place, and you will say, nah, that's not for me. I don't need to do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And the truth of the matter is, you need to fix your perspective. For some, it's worry. For some, it's fear. For some, it's angry. For some, it is anxiety. It's a living in a cave. It's always feeling down about life. It's always this, and it's always that. Until you take advantage of your own life and lay aside the very thing that is hindering you and say to yourself, no more. This is not going to hold me down. Not this year. I don't care how bad it hurts. I don't care how tired I get. I'm going to stay on the altar until God sets me free of whatever I'm dealing with. Can we be that kind of church? Can we be that kind of church? Listen, rise up with your faith and say, I trust God in spite of the shaking, in spite of the turbulence. I'm going to live for God. Listen, I don't care what you think about me, what you think about me. I care what God thinks about me. These few things not only weigh us down, but potentially entangles us and leads us into sin. Even though they're not sin, weights are not sin, they can entangle you, man, and cause you to sin. The word used in the Bible is weight. It is mostly used to mean a bulk or mass or a protuberance. Whatever is prominent sounds like anything that is in the way, doesn't it? We are called to lay aside every hindrance and sin that entangles us. The word entangles means to encircle or surround. So these encumbrances are in front of us, blocking our way. When we stop moving toward Jesus, we fall prey to sin, which actually trips us up. We become surrounded and unable to move anywhere at all. Like quicksand, we sink into sin. Man. The things I mentioned before, the fear, the worry, anger, and anxiety, these are all encumbrances that need to be put aside, or hindrances. They keep us from walking forward with Jesus in our faith. I'm going to get ready to wrap this up this morning. And fix your eyes on Jesus. As parents, many of us can attest to this. As parents, when our kids have said or done something, misbehaved in some way, and it's time to discipline them or teach them obedience, one of the first things we do is say, look at me in my eyes. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Why do we do that? Why do we ask them to look into our eyes? Because we're teaching them to be attentive by looking intently in our eyes. And this is the beginning of them learning to heed what we're saying and learning to trust what we're saying. The Apostle Paul, he urged that we keep our eyes, our focus on Jesus. Because the reality is this, when we keep our eyes and our focus on Jesus, eventually we learn to trust him better. See, this is what happened to Peter. Peter walked on water. That's a phenomenon. Have anybody else walked on water? No, Peter walked on water. When Peter's eyes was focused on Christ, he was walking on water. But the moment Peter started focusing on the storm, guess what happened? Peter sank. Guess what happens to us? When we start to focus on the storm, we spiritually sink. But God is wanting us to finish the race. He's wanting us to keep running the race, this race of faith. This race of faith is not going to stop this year, at the end of this year. The race of faith is going to end in sight when we see him face to face. Here we go. This is what the Apostle Paul said. For I am ready, already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. If you'll stand today. Man, he said, I have fought a good fight, and I have kept the faith. Listen, maybe tomorrow you're going to be in the worst fight of your life. It's not as so much as important as you win physically as you win spiritually. And the greatest battle that you're going to face is not with an opposing army, a person from foreign lands. The greatest enemy you're going to face is you. And the greatest battle you're going to have is inward. So if you're not spiritually sound, if you're not walking with God, if your focus is not on Jesus, man, I promise you, you will be beat down and thrown under the bus, left bloody, wounded, and maimed. And the enemy will walk off with his hands just like this every single time. You don't have to go into this year like that. The Apostle Paul says that I have kept the faith. From now on, a crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved my appearing. He is coming back, church. Listen, at the end of every race, the focus is the finish line in a natural race, right? The focus is getting from point A to point B. Run as hard as you can. If you fall, get back up, drag yourself, whatever you got to do. The focus is the finish line. But the finish line in this race of faith is to see Christ Jesus' face. I don't know when he's coming. No man knows the day nor the hour that he's coming, but he's coming, and I'm going to keep running. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. I feel good in my soul today because I am on my way to heaven and I am running this race. I don't care what happens at this point. I'm going to run for Jesus. And when I close my eyes, never to open them again, I'm going to slip into eternity and I'm going to dance in the spirit because I'm going to be in the presence of God. Church, this is beautiful faith. The face of God that we're looking to see. I told you 15 minutes and I'm done. If you'll just bear with me. Guys, listen, the race is real and the race is hard. The race is not easy. Many of us get thirsty. Let him be your water, your fountain. The living water. Amen. If you'll close your eyes today, I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know. You know what we're going through, God, individually and corporately. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength to run this race. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability. God, help us to trust you. Lord, help us to finish this race strong, leaning and trusting in you. God, may you be glorified in our lives today, not just today, but every day. God, help us to finish this race of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.